Take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs 19, Proverbs chapter 19. That was a very... Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word, and we ask you to encourage us and strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to read several Proverbs, and you may not have time to turn to them. You can jot them down under the title of tolerance. Tolerance. Tolerance provides, quote, wobble room for those who can't seem to measure up. It also allows needed room for the young and the restless. It smiles rather than frowns on the struggling. Instead of rigidly pointing to the rules and rehearsing the failures of the fail, it stoops and reaches out, offering fresh hope and humble understanding. We're going to read several verses of Scripture under that idea of tolerance, and the first one is Psalms 19:11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. The first thing he says that it is good for a person not to get angry. In response, one, if someone has wronged you, and two, if others have done wrong. It is important not to get angry. And then he says it is his glory to pass over a transgression. To pass over a transgression is not to hide or ignore sin, but to forgive others and be more tolerant of the person, not the sin. To be tolerant and forgiving does not mean you ignore a person's wrong, but you pass over it and you're willing to forgive and extend grace to them. Now, I'm not talking about the world's view of tolerance. The world has come up with a very ingenious plan of what they call tolerance. What they mean by tolerance is you must accept all forms of lifestyles, and if you're not, you're intolerant. That's not what we're talking about, and that's not the definition of tolerance in the past. A tolerance recognizes that people may do wrong, but we're willing to be forgiving and gracious and kind to them. We're willing, as the word says, means to pass over. It means we pass by and are willing to forgive. Now, there's a difference between someone who is persistently sinning or someone who is persistently a threat to us. That's a different story. But we're talking about a genuine willingness to be forgiving and tolerant when others have fallen into sin. Intolerance is the opposite of this. Unwilling to, quote, overlook a transgressions, it tightens the strings and guilt and verbalizes a lot of should and must. It frowns and piles more shame on the already shamed soul. It is unwilling to overlook differences. It sets up oneself as the standard. The heart of the intolerant has not been broken, not really. For many, it has become unbreakable, judgmental, without compassion, and very shallow. This verse encourages us. It is to your glory to pass over, to forgive. Now, not to accept the sin, but at least accept the person. If they're unsaved, there's to be more tolerance. The saved who persist is a different story. But we're still to express a tolerance, a kindness, a graciousness to people. And oftentimes, it can be very subtle. It can be in the way we look, or it can be in our attitude. We are to display a tolerance, an accepting spirit of others. You turn, if you have your Bibles, to Proverbs 24:11. And this scripture says this, beginning in verse 11. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? One way to say that a little differently is, rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to die. Save them as they stagger to their death. Don't excuse yourself by saying, look, we did not know. For God understands all hearts. He sees you. He who guards your soul knows what you knew. He will repay all people as their actions deserve. Now, you can narrow it on what he's talking about, death penalty. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a situation where a person is in deep trouble and innocently in trouble. Something has happened. Something is wrong. And you simply go, well, I didn't know. I'm interested. I don't care. And become judgmental of them and critical of them without willingness to extend a helping hand. Are you impatient with others who can't measure up? Could it be that you've tasted for so long the greatness of the conquest that you've forgotten the agonies of defeat? There are many people who are defeated, some of their own fault, some not. But tolerance and forgiveness and grace means we're willing to extend a helping hand, a kindness to them. The intolerant are not that way. The world says a lot about tolerance, but they are some of the most intolerant people there is. You can read any time on schools. I was just reading this morning of a school, and it has a long list of things you cannot say. And it's just unbelievable the things that you cannot say because that would hurt someone's feelings. That's not what we're talking about. They are very intolerant. If you disagree with their lifestyle, they would come very mad at you. But that's not what we're talking about. We're willing to recognize that someone is in need, someone is hurt, someone maybe has done wrong or is not measured up, and we're willing to extend grace, a kindness. I want to read for you a quote. The healthy can be patient with the sickly. The strong should have no trouble adapting to the weak. The fast do well to be kind with the slow. The productive have to understand the drudge. The wealthy should be able to imagine the pain of being poor. The quick minds know quite a lot of the embarrassment of being a slow learner. The coordinated should accept the awkward. The practical needs to listen to the philosophical. The engineer respects and tries to learn from the artist. The stable and secure work on understanding the fragile and the fearful. We as Christians sometimes, and the world is particularly, can be awfully judgmental and critical of people who don't fit into our box. And I'm not talking about wickedness and sinfulness, but just dealing with people. Their personality is different. You don't talk very much. What's your problem? Or you talk too much. What's your problem? Or you're not this, or you're not that. What's your problem? I see you got this. What's going on with you? And we oftentimes, as Christians, can cover our general Christianity and faithfulness to Lord with a veneer of not controlling our speech and being intolerant of those without displaying kindness. If you are in good spirits, you can be easily judgmental of those who are not. Now, what's your problem? Buck up! Well, that might be needed, but it may be more to that. Those who have plenty may not understand those who don't and say, what's your problem? Those who are of different shapes and sizes may not be tolerant of those who are not. You know, we are generally, as human beings, we need to be careful to be tolerant, to be patient, to be kind. If I was struggling as a person, the Lord Jesus Christ would not come and beat me over the head. He would display kindness. Now, he might confront me and say, you need to be better, but he would still display kindness. Turn your Bibles to 28:11, Proverbs 28:11. And the Bible says this: to have respect of persons is not good. For a piece of bread, that man will transgress. Now, what does he mean by that? Very interesting proverb. The first part is to have respect to persons. To have respect to persons means not to favor one over the other. Well, I like this person because they get a good personality. I don't like this person because they don't. I like this person because they're this. I don't like this person because they're that. It means to show respect of persons. You favor one over the other. I want to ask you a question. That person you condemned for sinning, would you do the same thing if it was you or a neighbor or your child or a friend? That will determine whether you are a respecter of persons. God deals with a person as they are and does not make external judgments. He will make moral judgments, but not external ones. The other part of this is very interesting. For a piece of bread, that man will transgress. Now, what does he mean? He's talking about a bribe. He's talking about a man who doesn't show respect to who shows respect to persons, said, I'm going to favor this one over this one. And that man is willing to, even for a small piece of bread, to transgress, and that means to take a bribe. That is the idea of the verse. He will do anything to gain an advantage. He will be partial for personal benefit. You know, that occurs in the political world, and that occurs in all sorts of societies, maybe even recurs with judges, I don't know. I remember my father one time was in a wreck. It wasn't his fault, and when he came in, he noticed that the judge was big buddies with the guy that had hit him. And then he said, I knew already that was the end of the story, and that was the end of the story, and found not guilty. Now, I'm not saying everyone will do that. That's not what I'm talking about. They're fine, decent judges. But the idea of this verse is that a man who is willing to favor one of the other is so easily willing to take an advantage for even a small piece of bread. It has to do with integrity. People will take bribes, etc., for personal gain. Politically, people will criticize and condemn the other party, but when it's their party, they won't do it with them. There's a lot of that goes on in life in general. Not just them, it's life in general. We'll favor, there's an excuse for them because we know them. Person we don't know, we'll just shoot them down. They're just plain sorry. Proverbs 29:7 says this, the righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. A righteous person will help a person who is in need. Now, let's define who are the poor. The poor are those, like in the New Testament, when the Jewish Christians were facing a famine, and Paul wanted to raise an offering for them. They were having destitute problems, not because of themselves, but because of circumstances that had overwhelmed them. And so Paul said, we must be willing to give. In the Old Testament, Ruth and Naomi came back to the land from Moab, and both had lost their husbands, had no means of real support. And so Boaz, as many of them did, offered to let some of the wheat fall back so they could come and gather and be provided for. There are many people through no fault of their own, or even maybe some poor choices, who are in great need and need help. Some physically cannot solve the problem. Some cannot solve it in other ways. Then sometimes we have to be careful that we that may be doing okay don't think about them. Now, we're not talking about people that simply game the system. There are many people that game the system. And there are many people that misuse the system. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the genuine poor. A wicked man will ignore and not even help the one in need. And you know what the word regardeth means? It means he doesn't understand the need. If you've never been there, you won't understand the need. If you've never been poor, if you've never been sick. I've heard people say, I can understand a problem with sick people. What was their problem? And then all of a sudden I had some struggles and go, whoa, boy. Now I know what you're talking about. Don't have to walk in someone's shoes to be tolerant and compassionate and caring and concerned for people in need. People are in all sorts of situations in life, and we are to be tolerant. When a trout rises to a fly and he gets hooked on a line, he finds himself unable to swim about freely. He begins with a fight which results in struggles and splashes and sometimes an escape. But often, of course, the situation is too tough for him. In the same way, the human being struggles with his environment and with the hooks that catch him. Sometimes he masters his difficulties. Sometimes they are too much for him. His struggles are all that the world sees and naturally misunderstands them. It is hard for a free fish to understand what is happening to a hooked one. And it is easy when things are going well to be intolerant and uncompassionate for those that it is not going well with. We are to be tolerant. Proverbs 30:12 says this: "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men." Certain kinds of people in our world are pure in their own eyes. And that's what the idea means. It is very funny in the way it says they are pure in their own eyes, but it says they're lofty are their eyes. And their eyelids are lifted up. You can get the picture. Someone does something in the eyelid room. Well, did you see that? Wow. That's kind of, I don't know about that. You know, I used to think that the world was just plain sinful. But they are also sinful, but they're very self-righteous about it. And there are many people who name the name of Christ who are very self-righteous. Well, I'm not like that. I don't do nothing wrong. And notice what it says. Their teeth become sword-like, sharp as knives. They do to devour the needy. The intolerant choose to devour those they consider beneath them. It says their jaw teeth, their words, are like knives. They can shoot the dart. Boom! Boom! Paul recently told me, and he won't mind me telling you. He said, before I had children, I tended to be a little judgmental. And I thought, what's their problem? Well, you raise children. That's in those Lord. Just do whatever. He said, suddenly I have a son. Totally different ball game when it's yours. And you don't get to send it home. It is at home. And it's a totally different ball game when your little boy has colic and beginning at 6 o'clock at night is screaming his lungs out. And nothing you do can calm it down until eventually after a while you finally calm it down. He said, I used to think, what's their problem? He said, now I understand what their problem is. It's a lot different when you got one. It is very easily in our lives to look at what is good in us and look at what is bad in others and ignore the bad in us. But the truth is, all of us need grace. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a good man. I'm going to heaven because I trusted in Christ and Him alone. And so we need to extend grace. Proverbs 11:25 says, the liberal soul shall be blessed, and he that watereth shall be watered himself. That is talking about finances, giving, but it also can be extended about giving good to others. Words relate to money, but it can be broadened to include generosity of spirit rather than restrictive of spirit. They receive back in return. It may be hard for a free fish to understand what is happening to a hooked one, but it is not impossible. Jesus himself knew no sin, was never once tempted to sin, and yet he was very compassionate towards sinners. The woman who was caught in adultery, the scripture says, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She saith, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. But then listen to what he said. Go and sin no more. Jesus saw through the hypocrisy of the people of the woman caught in adultery, and they were criticizing her, but not the man. Jesus saw through that and said, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. We're not talking about just, oh, well, you live any way you want to. But we are talking about compassion and concern for others. Jesus showed compassion to the woman at the well and told her her lifestyle, but he also told her of a way of living that was different. This woman, he said, I do not condemn you, but don't continue this lifestyle. Jesus knew compassion and grace and strength. Those in my past that I can remember who are always kind and gracious and helpful. If I think back to my favorite teachers, those are the ones I think about. And I also think about the ones who were tough. I can remember one English teacher was tough, but I know English now because of her. But she wasn't mean about it. My favorite teacher was Mrs. Williams, who was our typing teacher. And me and Yannis, when it was time for a test, we would go. And so she'd come around and say, how many words you type? We said, 350. Boys. I mean, mistake, 1,020. But this is what she'd do. She said, now, boys, that's funny. Now, let's do it right. And we would. We would. She gave us a little, what we just said, you know, she gave us a little wobble room. Boy, I'm so glad when I was a young man that people gave me wobble room. Because if I bet myself today and who I was, I would probably have already thrown myself away. Because, you know, when you're young, you can just say and do silly things and carry on. And sometimes that's what children do. You know, there's a difference between outright rebellion and just being a child and having fun. And it's good to enjoy them. It is one of the greatest pleasures to just watch them on Wednesday night. Just one of the greatest pleasures just to watch them run around like crazy things. But they're having fun. They're enjoying themselves. And there's nothing wrong in what they're doing. They're just being children. It's hard for a free fish to understand what is happening to a hooked one. But it is not impossible. It is best at always to be kind to people and gracious and helpful. And if there is wrong, you may need to point it out in a loving, kind, and gracious way. But the truth is, you need to express kindness. You know, the man I sat under was Dr. Harold Burchett, who I'm forever grateful to. And sometimes the guys would come back into the class and they would just be in a huff about something. Can you believe that? Dr. Burchett. And Dr. Burchett would say something to you, oh, you're not mad about that? Oh. You know what I began to figure out about him? He knew they were being a little self-righteous about it. They were pointing out one wrong while they themselves were not pointing back to themselves. And they were just having a little fit about something. And so Dr. Chip just come over and walk over here. As I watched him, I realized he himself would point out wrong. But he never did it in a self-righteous way. He'd just simply say, that was wrong. One time when I was upset about a pastor preaching, and he told me, yeah, you're right. Your reaction was wrong, though. But you're right about it. Shouldn't have been said that way. But your reaction is wrong. I learned from him, you know, that grace needs to extend. And tolerance, not the world's tolerance, but tolerance and acceptance. People are different. If you haven't noticed that, I don't know what planet you've been living on. People, do you know? I'd love to. That's what I'd love to, but we won't ever do it. I'd love to take us all in our church and go away to a camp for a week and we'd have no supplies. We had to do them all ourselves, and I'd love to see what would happen to all of us. It would be one of the most hilarious things of how everybody would react. Some would come in and say, "Go cut that firewood." Okay. While the others were going down there cutting the firewood, the other one would be telling jokes about it. Then another person said, whoa, you didn't cut that firewood straight. You didn't cut that straight. And one would say, "So what?" And the one that wanted it straight would be upset at the one that said, "So what?" But everybody's different. And everybody needs to be appreciated and accepted and forgiven for what they are. Because our Heavenly Father in heaven has forgiven us where we are. He even today forgives me where I'm at. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ were to come in here, he would come in here with grace, but he would look at me and go, whoa. You're not measuring up. Preach you up to something? No, he's just perfect. And I'm not. But he would extend grace and help to lift us up. So I ask you this morning, learn to be a little kinder. Watch your words. We as Christians sometimes can say some awfully sanctimonious things, and I speak to myself too. We can say some awful self-righteous things. "Well, get up, boy. What's your problem?" Well, you don't know about the problem of the person that may be struggling. If you've never been there, you don't know. You really don't know what they're going through. You really don't know what they're facing in their family or what they're facing here. And they need prayer and compassion and grace and strength. Because someday you may need it when you're hurting and you're in pain. No doubt I know that many in our church would do that, and I'm thankful. So I ask you this morning, be gracious and kind. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your precious word. Encourage us. Help us, Lord, to be tolerant and to be gracious and to be kind. Not to tolerate sin, that's a whole different story. But there may be a time to be forgiving and gracious, and there may be a time for rebuke. Because Proverbs talks a lot about being rebuked, but the person who rebukes must also be one who can be rebuked too, and who is not self-righteous about it. If we have a board in our own eye, may we not be going after someone who has a little bit of dust in their eye. But if we clear out our board, Lord, we are clear to help them with that dust particle in their eye. That's what your word says. So help us, Lord, to balance the two. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.